Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
The Louvre in Paris is facing fresh scrutiny over its security deficiencies following that 80 million plus euro heist last month, as it was revealed that the password for the museum's video surveillance was Louvre. And the person you hear laughing right now is Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast. And you know what? I have to be honest, Elaine, I laughed too. I actually laughed out loud this morning. I thought, if the Louvre can't think up of another password, and then with, I mean, there's just no figure you could put on, you know, the value of what they have inside that museum. If they can't think of anything other than Louvre for their cybersecurity, what hope do the rest of us have?
Yeah, you know, it just exposes that there's probably a lot of people out there laughing at this and secretly thinking in the back of their head, oh yeah, if my password ever got exposed, that'd be very embarrassing. Because this is unfortunately really common practice. Now, in the case of the Louvre, they knew that this was a problem at least as early as 2014, because that's what's emerging in this court investigation of what happened and what led to the famous heist. And in 2014, they had the security audit done. They had a report then produced in 2015, and they said that they wouldn't be implementing some of the recommendations from that report up until 2032.
So not really, even change your really, really obvious cybersecurity password.
Now, we don't know that that was still the password as of today, but we do know that at one point in their cybersecurity process, it was. And then they had a system that they used called Talos, and the password to access that system was Talos. And then there's other problems as well. Like, they just didn't prioritize security, and that's what's transpiring from this report. Like, they have 465 galleries and they only had 432 CCTV cameras. And that meant that 61% of those galleries were completely, you know, not covered by CCTV whatsoever. And at the end of the day, this hack wasn't a cyber attack.
No,
at all.
It wasn't
not a hack
a lapse in their cybersecurity, yeah, that led to this heist.
But what it was people in high-vis vests and a movable crane. And there's a woman in Dublin at the moment for the Iris Cert event, which is a big cybersecurity conference, called Jenny Radcliffe. She calls herself a people hacker. And she does say this to the cybersecurity people as well, that your physical security can be just as important, because she has done what's called penetration testing. And it's like testing organisations' ability to protect themselves. And she will walk into their organisation carrying a clipboard and wearing a high-vis vest, and no one asks them questions. And she can plug a USB into anyone's computer and take what she wants.
Do you think other public spaces, in fact, maybe private spaces, businesses, are they as loose around security as the Louvre appears to have been?
I would say it's sadly more common than we would want it to be, because we do expect all these organisations to be more high tech and security, and everyone's been briefed in the workplace on high cybersecurity. But then if you look at your own personal approach to cybersecurity and password setting, password protection, a lot of people are lax there. And there's a problem there in that the reason why a lot of people are lax is because the current guidance on passwords makes them unusable for people. They're not easy to memorize. What you're asked to set is a password that has multiple variable letters, numbers, characters, different
case settings, put in a few numbers, put in a few symbols, so you just end up having to rechange it 100 times.
We also end up with,
or just using the same one,
News Talk 1 question mark, you know, formats like that. Did I just reveal it? But this is the thing, if I'm asked to do that, and I might do a capital N, but I'm just doing the bare minimum to meet that requirement. And that's a real big problem. And that's why password guidance in terms of best practice has actually changed a little bit in recent years. Because if people aren't going to adopt your good cybersecurity practices, that's a big, big problem. So you need to make it a system that people are willing to adopt. So what you should be doing is looking at a pass phrase. Like, think of three words that you can muddle together, and they shouldn't be words that are connected to you in any way. So it shouldn't be like your kids' names and family names or anything like that, things that you're interested in. Just three random words. I used to get people in my office to shout random words at me when I was setting passwords.
But then how do you remember those?
Well, if it's three words, you can probably, you know, just remember that as a phrase.
I like what? You know?
Yes, exactly. Now, what you shouldn't do once you have your phrase is don't just replace I with one. Don't just replace like an E with a three. Don't make those obvious substitutes, because it's really easy to actually program a system in terms of like what they call a brute force attack, where you just, they used to try every word in the dictionary, but now they can temper it so that every word in the dictionary is replaced with those obvious replacements as well. So mix it up a little bit, put letters and numbers and symbols in weird places, but still in a way that you can remember this as a phrase. There's still a logic to it then, and it makes it that bit easier to remember.
And then if you do have that, can you use that password in multiple platforms, or really should you be changing it for everything?
You should have a different password for every platform that you use. And the reason for that is no security is 100% secure. So any platform is vulnerable to a breach at any time. And what can happen there is that that password then gets exposed, but it's then used by bad actors to access anything else that they can try. So if you're using the same password for something that you signed up for just to get access to a discount code, and that's also gives access to your email, one of those is probably going to be more vulnerable and likely to be hacked than the other. Now, if you're signing up for a service that you are a bit sus on and it is just to get your hands on a discount, set up a dummy email. It's a very, very good practice to get into, is to not give away data that you don't need to give away and have a dummy email for those things that ask you for an email to get access to. And then if that's breached, no big deal. There's nothing valuable in that. But your primary email account, which we, you know, use to engage with a lot of things now and a lot of services and has a lot of valuable information in it, that should be your most secure platform.
Oh, yeah, I have done that before, actually. And that is handy. And also it's a great place to send all those sort of spammy things that you have to sign up for. What about, not that I would ever do this, what about sending, you know, passwords to yourself, you know, email them to you, keep them on your phone?
Yeah, ideally you shouldn't, and certainly shouldn't send them digitally. It's actually safer to write down a password and have like a little thing where you have like a notebook of your key passwords stored in your house somewhere, because it's way less likely that cyber criminals are going to invade your home. They are inherently lazy. They like to operate from behind a screen and try to infiltrate through the digital sphere instead of coming into your house. So having them written down is not actually a terrible practice. Now, you wouldn't put it on a post-it and stick it on your desk in work. That's not good practice in like an open space. But if you
don't
keep
stick
a notebook,
it on the cover inside your mobile phone.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. That's not good practice. But think logically about these things. It's not likely that someone is going to break into your home and look for a little notebook with your passwords on it. They're going to try and take your TV and your phone and stuff like that.
See, I kind of think when I'm putting in passwords, I actually don't really think about the hackers. I just think about, you know, other bad actors, let's say, or leaving your, you know, laptop open in an internet cafe or in somebody else's house. I kind of am under the impression if a hacker wants to get in, a hacker's going to get in.
That is actually a really good philosophy to take on board, because like everyone is vulnerable to breaches. Even there's something that you can use, we were talking about sharing passwords. You could use a password manager, which is a good practice way of sharing passwords, especially if you're in a business and you need to share access to accounts and things like that. Now, ideally, everyone should have their own access credentials and things like that. But there's a way of doing that through password managers and sharing things that way. But password managers are also targets of cyber attacks. They have to be ahead of that, because it's really damaging to their reputation if they are hacked. But everyone is vulnerable. So what they do is they practice, well, the best ones have a practice called zero knowledge architecture. So you have a really secure password that you use to access your password manager, and then it does the job of storing all the other passwords for you. If that data is breached, they don't actually have a record of your passwords. They have an encrypted version of it that you can only access. So even if someone got hold of that data, it's still encrypted, and they tend to not be able to actually get into your other account. So there's an extra layer of security that can be added on there with these systems.
Interesting. How often should you change them as a matter of best practice?
Now, if you're not compromised, it's no harm to keep a password for a long time. There was previous guidance that said you should be changing it regularly, but that leads to those bad habits that I've just been talking about, where people then create bad passwords. News Talk 1? May.
Which I will be changing straight after the show.
Yeah. So you don't have to force people to change them regularly, but if you have been compromised and there's a way to check, if you go to a website that is haveibeenpwned.com.
Pwned.
So Pwned spelled P-W-N-E-D. And you can put any email that you own into that website and they will let you know if it's been part of any data breach that they have uncovered on the dark web or various places online where these kind of data dumps happen. And it will tell you if you've been part of that. And if you know that you've been part of a breach, you can then go about resetting those passwords and practicing good hygiene there.
Very, very interesting. There is nothing you don't know about the tech world. Elaine Burke, thanks as always for coming in and for giving us all of that really great advice.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.